Well, Father, we just truly do thank you for what you've done so far. And I know, Father God, what you told me. And so I'm believing that before we leave here this day, that the Holy Spirit will fall upon your people and they will be forever changed. And Father, we just give you all honor and all glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Father. You know, a lot of things are coming down the road. God gave me a word, you know, his one word little statements, -7, when I was showering the other day. Now, I looked up, I know what that is in math. Well, I don't know what it is, but I do know what it is. But I don't know what it is in biblical. But I looked up numbers, and, you know, a lot of you people were saying, I see, every place I look, I see 11. Well, I found out, looking up numbers, that 11 is Satan's number. And so I would be very careful, you know, when you see numbers, make sure you know what they are all about. So anyhow, as I was looking to see about this -7, God does everything in sevens. Everything he does in sevens. And because it's a -7, I believe we are going into 7 years of great trouble. And, you know, and God, I'm not saying God said that. This is just what I feel. It just seems like it's in my spirit and it's real. You know, the war's going to break out. You know, food's going to be scarce. We're going to start to be put in prison for preaching the gospel. All this kind of stuff's already going on. Our children are, you know, being sold. There's all kind of things going on right now. But whenever God hits, it's always spoke, -7. I believe he's telling me that we're going into 7 years of trouble. Now, you can check it out. You can figure out whatever you want to with it. And then God told me whenever he was talking about a deliverance, and God said, you're dealing with fallen angels. Now, fallen angels were here in Noah's days. And when God told me, when I first was saved, that we're living in the days of Noah, and they, so we're dealing with fallen angels now. And fallen angels will totally take you over. I studied that. And they will get into you, and they will just a little bit torment you, but eventually you no longer exist, and all it is the devil using your body. I know two people like that. One of them has died, and God told me there was just this much of his soul left, and the rest the demons had possessed. Now, you might boo-hoo this. I don't care what you do, but these things are real. And as you read the Bible, everybody knew about devils in the Bible, and the devils walked all over the place in the Bible. I don't understand why America can't understand that they're real, and we're living in these days. You need to stop and think very seriously of what you're doing before you do it, and make sure that it's of God, because I'm telling you, the enemy's out for blood, and he wants to kill you. How is he going to do that? By taking over your body and shoving your spirit man out and just using that empty shell. All right? Those are the two things God showed me this week. And I just want you to think about it and do whatever you want to with it. But, and I'm, you know, I'm sorry that I speak a lot of gloom, doom, and despair, but what I speak is the truth. You know, God said he doesn't want you to. He's been telling us ever since we started this church, get your head out of the sand and look up and see what's going on around about you. So we can't walk around. If you're going to be a leader, you can't walk around with your head in the sand. You have to be knowing what's going on around about you. Right? All right. Now, God was talking about Pentecost. So let's read Matthew. He gave me Matthew 3. John, this is John the Baptist speaking. I am baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. The real action comes next. The main character in the drama, compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand. He will ignite the kingdom life within you. a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false he'll put out with the trash to be burned. Now, John the Baptist said, all I'm doing is I'm just dipping you in the water. But when Jesus comes and you receive Jesus in all his fullness, your whole life is going to change. All I'm doing now is setting you up to receive Christ, all right? So how many of you, if you went to different churches, everybody wanted you to get baptized. The minute you walked in the door, first thing you had to do was, I don't know how many times I've been baptized. You know, and nothing in my life ever changed. You know, I became born again and then was baptized again. All right, so God gave us this word for Friday. It was posted. A man knows not where the wind blows. Therefore, he struggles under the heavy load that the enemy places on him. But fear not, for I am the great deliverer, and I cause the wind to blow. Therefore, I know how to deliver my people, as I hold on to my everlasting arms. It is by that same wind that I draw all men unto me. It is by my spirit that you are set free. It is not by the power of man. Spirit calls unto spirit. Now, that wind is the wind of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that draws you. It's the Holy Spirit that leads, guides, and directs you. So until you're full of that, of the Holy Spirit, you're more or less out there paddling on your own. You know, you really don't, you're just doing what's you do in the natural. But when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you will not do the things you really want to do. You'll start to do something the Holy Spirit will say, I wouldn't do that if I was you. You know, or the Holy, or you might be sick, and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to do this to counteract what's going on in your body. You don't know what to do, but the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit will continue, lead, guide, and direct you. When I first got born again, I wanted to go away to Bible school like a lot of people do. And God said, no, I don't want man's doctrine in you. I want you to be led by the Holy Spirit. And that's who taught me what I know is the Holy Spirit. Man had nothing to do with it. And see, a lot of people, you just run after pastor after pastor after after preacher after preacher after preacher, and you believe what they're saying. Why don't you run after the Holy Spirit and have him change you? I'm not saying that don't listen to other pastors. I didn't say that. I'm just saying you're just running after it, and sometimes you get yourself into a lot of confusion. All right, John the Baptist said, with water I baptize those who repent of their sins, but someone else is coming far greater than I am, so great that I am not worthy to carry his shoes. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I'm just reading this in a different version. He will separate the chaff from the grain, burning the chaff with never-ending fire and storing away the grain. When I read that scripture for the very first time, I looked at it, and I looked at it with different eyes. The Holy Spirit, when he comes into me, will burn the chaff out of me and make me a new grain. We always think it's, you know, he's going to come and separate the sheep from the goats. But this is talking about one individual, you. When the Holy Spirit comes in, he's going to take all that junk totally out of you, and you'll be a brand new person. Are you understanding that? And, you know, a lot of you are still saying, I can't do this, and I can't do that. No, you can't. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then you're trying to work everything out in your flesh. All right, Acts chapter 1, verse 3 says, this was after his death, talking about Jesus. But he showed them that he was alive, proving it to them in many ways. And Jesus appeared to, I just didn't want to write all those scriptures, but Jesus appeared to the disciples after he died and rose again. But he showed them that he was alive, proving it to them in many ways. The apostles saw Jesus many times during the 40 days. After he was raised from death, he spoke to them about God's kingdom Yeah, that's the first time I really read that and understood what it said. Jesus came back to earth and taught his disciples about heaven. And that's how his disciples was able to go forth and preach the gospel. One time when Jesus was eating with them, he told them not to leave Jerusalem. He said, "Wait here until you receive what the Father promised to send. Remember, I told you about it before." And this is what he told them, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the end of the earth." So Jesus said, "I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's now going to be your teacher." You know, and the Holy Spirit is in this church, whether people feel it or not, and we've had many people come, different people come in, or like just like the praise and worship team. You know, they were so anointed when they did praise and worship. I thought, wow, I wish I had a team like that. But I found out later they never worshiped like that before or after, because they were the Holy Spirit's in here, and the Holy Spirit had hit them, and they were operating on our anointing. Now, that should make you feel good. And we had a pastor, the Rhodes sisters. They came, they said to their dad, they preached here, and they said, you got to come. He came, and he wasn't scheduled to preach, but the power of God hit him, and he preached up a storm. I mean, it was really powerful. And you know what I noticed when he preached? He was preaching Ephesians. Word for word. And it was so anointed. And he told us afterwards, "I've never preached like that in my life." So that was the Holy Spirit that abides in here. And he drew on it. And he said, "You guys have got something that many don't have." I don't understand why y'all can't get it. You know, like others can. And there other people have told us different things. But I want you to really believe in today that you're going to get it. And once you get it, your whole life is going to change. You know, you should be angry, and you can't get angry because the Holy Spirit isn't like that. He's gentle. You know, you'll want to do something, and the Holy Spirit will say, no, don't do that. And as much as you want to do it, you can't do it because you're being led by the Holy Spirit, because then you know he's deep down inside of you, and you know you're led by the Spirit. All right, then on the day of Pentecost, the people were in the upper room for 7 days. Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. All right, we're all on one accord and in one place here. All right. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Remember when God used to always ask us, "Don't you hear the wind?" Remember? And he was trying to fill us then with the Holy, well, y'all, with the Holy Spirit then. And he kept saying, "Don't you hear the wind?" So what was going on here? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a, they heard it. It was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. What happened after the mighty wind and tongues of fire? Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in languages they didn't know, for the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. When you hear somebody sitting in here and all of a sudden they bust out speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit has hit them and they can't control themselves. So we don't look around and say, "Just shut up." It's the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit's hitting them. Or if we see somebody all of a sudden they just start uncontrollably crying, the Holy Spirit has hit them. And I was watching the young lady up here, and the more she sang, the more the Holy Spirit got on her, and she was shaking and vibrating. The Holy Spirit landed on her. See, we need to stop stopping people from receiving. We need to be a church that lets people go ahead and I know what's God and what isn't. And some of you have been trained to know what's God and what isn't. And what isn't God, if it gets out of hand, we'll take care of it. But in the meantime, let's just let people, let the Holy Spirit move on people as he desires. Now in Acts 2:14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem. I want to say something here. You know, they all were speaking in different tongues. I can't speak in tongues unless the Holy Spirit hits me. I cannot. A lot of people just say, Chris can just say, hello, you know, but I can't do that. The Holy Spirit really has to hit me. And then I know it gets deep and then he gives me words. All right. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel in chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And this is what he wants to do tonight, today. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. It shall come to pass that whoever calls the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, what God was speaking to me as I was reading this, he said, today is a day. This is another step for this church so he can bring the glory in his fullness. Today is a day that he wants to fill us all full of the Holy Spirit so we can move on to the next step and then let the glory drop. So as you sit here today, just please allow the Holy Spirit to move upon you. The Holy Spirit won't make you, you know, people used to come in here and they'd climb the wall and beat on the wall with their feet. The Holy Spirit does not do that. One lady barked like a dog and come on. And remember whenever that great revival was going, they was running around there barking like dogs and cats and all this and that and the other. That is not the Holy Spirit. That's your flesh. I was at a Rodney Harrow Brown meeting one time in Florida, and this girl, she stood up and she started going like this. Well, running around, you know, she's going like this. And all of a sudden, I looked over to my right, and a whole section there, everybody stood up and was going like this. And if they had buttons, something buttoned on, they were unbuttoning themselves, and their clothes were flying off. Well, she ran around that place about five times, a big auditorium. And finally, my mother said, why didn't somebody stop that lady? And finally, Rodney Howard Brown stood up and was standing at the end where she would come, and he just said, and she went, fell down. And he said, that was a demonstration of the devil. So don't think it was anything else. But I guess he just wanted to show people what the devil will do and then how it affected these other people. All right? So you be careful of what you think is the Holy Spirit, and really what it is a bunch of flesh going on. If I was you, I would really cry out to God until I received the Holy Spirit, because he wants to fill you. And I don't mean just today. I mean, if you don't feel like you received it today, I would just say, God, I really want the Holy Spirit. And he will help you in your struggles. He will help you get over addictions. He will help you forget about the past. And because really, you'll be able to look at the past and say, well, that was nothing really. You understand what I'm saying here? God is on the move. Are we moving? All right, that's what he wanted to teach about the Holy Spirit. I just want to take a few minutes right now, and let's just close our eyes and raise our hands. and just quietly ask the Holy Spirit to enter in. Now, see, that's the way you receive the Holy Spirit. It's not by lining up and somebody say, boo, boo, ba, ba, and smack you on the head, knock you on the floor. That does not give you the Holy Spirit. It gives you a headache. And I never like to see that. And I never do say anything about the Holy Spirit, so you know this is God. And your field. Now keep it. No, he's a gentleman. And if you don't listen to him, he'll walk away. So listen to what he's telling you to do. The other day I went to do something, I reached for it, and very, very sternly I heard the voice say, do you really want to do that? I said, I don't think so. Just by the way they spoke it, I thought, I don't think so. This is the way he talks to you. He leads, guides, and directs you. All right, now, let's move on here. I'm going to read some scriptures, and this is for the church. God, these scriptures are telling you what God's getting ready to do with the church. When I went to prayer yesterday morning, God told me to read Zechariah chapter 2 and 3, so let's read it. When I looked around me again, I saw a man carrying a yardstick in his hand. Where are you going, I asked. To measure Jerusalem, he said. I want to see whether it is big enough for all the people. This is the way I took it. We're Jerusalem, this building, in God's measure, and see if we can hold everybody that he's sending in. Then the angel who was talking to me went over to meet another angel coming toward him. Go tell this young man, said the other angel, that Jerusalem will someday be so full of people. Where Jerusalem will be so full of people that she won't have room enough for all. Many will live outside the city walls with all their many cattle, and yet they will be safe. For the Lord himself will be a wall of fire protecting them, and all Jerusalem, he will be the glory of the city. God is telling us he's going to put a wall of fire around us, and he's going to keep us safe. This is about this church. Come flee from the land of the north, from Babylon, says the Lord to all his exiles there. I scattered you to the winds, but I will bring you back again. What did God tell us? He said, the ones that left are going to start coming back again. All right. Escape, escape to Zion now, says the Lord. The Lord of glory has sent me against the nations that oppressed you. For he who harms you sticks his finger in Jehovah's eye. How many times has God said anybody comes against us, he was going to take care of? You are the apple of the Father's eye. And whoever comes against you to harm you in any way, shape, or form, he's going to take care of. I will smash them with my fist, and their slaves will be their rulers. Then you will know it was the Lord Almighty who sent me. Sing, Jerusalem, and rejoice, for I have come to live among you, says the Lord. And I believe that's why he's having us be rejoicing. At that time, many nations will be converted to the Lord. God said that we're going to win Lower Delaware to Christ. And they too shall be my people. I will live among them all. Then you will know it was the Lord Almighty who sent me to you. And Judah shall be the Lord's inheritance in the Holy Land. For God shall once more choose to bless Jerusalem. God is going to bless us again mightily. And then we're going to read another scripture to cover that. Be silent, all mankind, before the Lord, for he has come to earth from heaven, from his holy home. Now, y'all know that one time when we had a church split in my home, that I was laying on the floor crying out to God, and he told me to read Isaiah 54, that was my scripture. And so as I was getting this together, he gave me this part of Isaiah 54. Your Redeemer, God says, I left you, but only for a moment. Now with enormous compassion, I'm bringing you back. And I went through a 10-year dry season. In an outburst of anger, I turned my back on you, but only for a moment. It's with lasting love that I'm tenderly caring for you. if God gets angry for you, it's not forever. You did something that you were disobedient to him, you're going to have to pay for it. But if you repent and serve him, he will come back to you. This exile is just like the days of Noah for me. I promised then that the waters of Noah would never again flood the earth. I'm promising now no more anger, no more dressing you down. And he told me this a couple months ago, and I said, oh, thank God. I'm tired of the woodshed. There comes a point in your life when God's no longer angry with you. And like he said here, no more dressing down. No more coming after you and making you, you know, do whatever. For even if the mountains walk away and the hills fall to pieces, my love won't walk away from you. My covenant commitment of peace won't fall apart. The God who has compassion on you says so. So I'm in a good place. And God says here that his commitment to me is going to be there and nobody can take it away from me. And we're getting ready to show Lower Delaware who we really are in Christ Jesus and who God is, the real God, the God of truth. All right, then verse 11 said, afflicted city, that's y'all, that was me. Afflicted city, storm battered, unpitied, I'm about to rebuild you with stones of turquoise, lay your foundations with sapphires. Construct your towers with rubies, your gates with jewels, and all your wealth with precious stones. All your children will have God for their teacher. What a mentor for your children. Isn't this awesome? I mean, this is my scripture, so I always apply it to myself. But now that God is applying that to all of you guys, to the whole church. And 14 says, you'll be built solid, grounded in righteousness, far from any trouble, nothing to fear, far from terror. It won't even come close. You see that? Built on solid ground. So what's God been trying to do with us? Put the stone under our feet, right? And we have solid ground. And we won't have anything to fear. He said, and far from terror, it won't even come close. If anyone attacks you, don't for a moment suppose that I sent them. And if any should attack, nothing will come of it. So if you're in trouble, somebody's coming against you, trust God. He says right here, nothing's going to come of it. You're free. I create the blacksmith who fires up his forge and makes a weapon designed to kill. I also create the destroyer. But no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. Are you listening, guys? This is for the church this morning. No weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. We've witnessed that over and over again in this church. This is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best, God's decree. I don't know about you, but I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to worry about. I don't care what the enemy throws my way into my face. I know my God is in total and complete control. He never goes back on his promises. And the day he told me that Isaiah 54 was my chapter and to stand on it always, I have. That's been quite a few years ago. Let's say about 35. God has always vindicated me. He's always vindicated this church. He's never let the enemy, hasn't he? He's never let the enemy come against. If the enemy tries to come against us, he's always stopped them. You guys are in the same boat now. This is, you can, well, you know, I'm telling you, you can rely on this scripture. I mean, God isn't telling you, but I'm telling you. Why are you so easily upset for days on end? It's because you don't stand on the promises of God. And because you don't have the Holy Spirit, or you don't even call on the Holy Spirit. You know, he's a gentleman. He's not going to just stick his nose in there. Every morning I say, Holy Spirit, here I am. And you tell me what to do all day long. Are you listening? If you give him permission to lead, guide, and direct you all day, he will. But if you don't do that, then he won't. He'll stand by and watch you fumble through life. But he doesn't want you. God doesn't want us to fumble through life. He gave us the Holy Spirit for a purpose. You know, God told me first of all it was God, then it was Jesus, then it was the Holy Spirit, and now he's back again, and he's angry. But, you know, we have Jesus sort of, you know, in there interceding for us. And we have the Holy Spirit now. They're probably saying, come on now, Dad, let's not be too harsh here. But that's how it is. He's gone full circle around, and now it's God. And he wants us to honor him as the Father. And we have to be walking in righteousness and holiness. He's about beat that into the dirt, trying to get us to do that. But I'm believing after the day that your lives are changed. I'm believing that since you received the Holy Spirit, that the enemy will have no more sway over you. And, you know, I'm just going to talk to married people. If you have the Holy Spirit in you richly, you can be married to the worst person in the world, and you'll be happy. And you won't look at their sins, at their faults, because the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. And if, like one time I said, when I first got saved, all I heard was Smith, Smith, Smith. Everyone went to church, they were teaching on submit. And I said, God, what is this Smith thing? Because I didn't know my Bible. Yeah, I read it, but I didn't know it. And he said, if my people would love each other like I teach them to, you would never hear the word Smith, because love would lead and guide. And what's the Holy Spirit love, isn't he? And so if you have the Holy Spirit, then he's love and he will lead and guide. You might want to smack your mate up alongside the head, but you won't. You go out in the middle of the field and say, God, you got to take care of this thing, this wife that you gave me, or this husband that you gave me. But really, truly, I'm telling you, if you walk in the Spirit, your life's going to be different. And I know it's, you know, right now, we need to really be in the fullness of the anointing. Right now, we need to be so filled with everything that heaven has for us because of what God is going to use us to do. There's a lot of you in here. You're going to be working right here at the Lighthouse, helping, you know, there's going to be so many people who are going to be in a new building, and there's going to be so many people that it takes people to manage people. And so I just want you all to be encouraged this morning that God is in control. And he's going to work on you as long as you let him work on you. And if you don't want him, he knows that. And he'll walk away. He'll leave you to your own. He'll leave you stewing your own soup. He will not force you to do anything. There is a way out, and that way is the Holy Spirit. And God wants, he's telling me to tell you, you need to start rejoicing more. You don't rejoice enough. And I don't know if you're, right now, if you're really full of the Holy Spirit, you feel separated from the things of the world. You just feel like you feel funny because you feel like you don't belong anywhere if you're full of the Holy Spirit right now. And that's all right. That's God pulling you to himself, because there's such riches in heaven that he wants to reveal to us. Just like these little one word things he gives me, they're so rich and so powerful. And he wants to speak to everybody like that. And he doesn't want you to ever make any mistake in your life. That is possible, you know. It's only when I allow my flesh really to rule that I get in trouble. And it's my fault, because I don't yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And afterwards you say you're sorry, but sorry doesn't mean anything to me. You know, you shouldn't have done it in the first place. How many are geared up to go higher this morning? That you're ready now to do this next step that God has us in, preparing us for a new building, preparing us, first of all, for the big influx of people, and then the new building. If you're ready for that, God wants you to come up here, because he's going to overshadow you this morning. That's all I know. He just said overshadow you.